Okay, our first. Okay, our first speaker tonight is Bernadette. The subject is Catch the Miracle and Never Give Up. So, Bernadette, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Central Jersey, for asking me to speak. I always feel it's a privilege always to be able to speak or to be asked to give service in any way. And then to be able to do it is just a wonderful thing. And I see so many names and so many people that I know for a lot of years, and that's a very nice thing. Okay, so I came into OA. First, I was in AA and for like a minute, and somebody in the meeting said something about the food, and they're talking about food. And I raised my hand and I said, well, I do that 700 times a day. So I was always a compulsive overeater. Everybody in the room turned around and looked at me like, what's wrong with you? And I thought, you know, let me just first start. I should back up for a minute by the grace of God. My sobriety, my abstinence date is August 11, 87. And I will tell you, I thought I was going to be speaking on this topic of keep coming back, no matter what. And that's sort of, I hope that's okay, that because I was thinking of that. And I thought, because many times today and over the past few days, I was going to reach out and say, you know what, I don't really think I can speak tonight because I really don't feel well. And the truth is I never really feel well physically. I just don't anymore. And I was in the hospital for last week for a surgery that they kept me in. I thought to myself, no, wait a minute. It's okay. You can speak because the message, I love the understanding that we are, each of us, uniquely useful to somebody else. And so I think if when I share about how difficult it was and how long I struggled with food before I put the food down, I struggled and struggled, and every meeting, anybody knew we're coming back, like every meeting, Bernadette, and I'm coming back every day for like 2 years. And I used to be afraid of people in OA. I was afraid because I thought they're going to be sick of me. Nobody in that room is going to want me to come back. Why? Because I keep going back out. And I keep coming back every single day. And I thought to myself, they're going to just think that I'm not trying. And people would say, use the tools. Pick up the phone and make a call before you eat. I knew I was going to eat, but I would pick up the phone and make the call so that at least somebody would be able to say, well, at least she's trying. You know, she's trying. But the truth was, I was not ready to really just put the food down. I didn't want to stop eating whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. I didn't want to stop. I wanted recovery, but I didn't want to put the food down to get there. And I always think that the beauty of the 12-step program and the 12 steps is that step zero is putting the food down. I don't really get to my own powerlessness until the food is down and I begin to see how powerless I am and how I have used food and done things. I didn't see them while I was still eating. And I used to think to myself, but you need to at least keep coming to the meetings and keep trying and keep reaching out. And I was always reaching out, and it was because I was afraid. I was afraid of you. I was afraid of what you would think of me. And I was afraid of eating and never being able to stop. I knew once I started, I couldn't stop. And And it's that, you know, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. It's that once I start, I can't stop. But that's not the problem. The problem for me is that I couldn't stop starting again. That was really the problem. Because I could detox off of whatever foods and get myself right. And people used to say to me in other 12-step programs, like, oh, well, it's only food. And I think, well, what is it? But it's that I shut myself off from wanting to hear or see or reach for higher power, to reach for God, my higher power. I call him God. And I was thinking, like, I've been in the ropes for a long time, since 87. One day, and I kept calling every day. And I didn't say, oh, today's the day I'm going to be obstinate. It's that one day I just didn't start eating. And I called my sponsor all the time. One day I was getting closer and closer. And once, I don't know why, what was different? Nothing. And somebody asked me, well, what prayer did you pray that day? What did you do differently that day that you put the food down? Nothing. And then one day I was thinking about it, but you know what was different? I mean, years later, I was thinking about it, and I thought, maybe what was different is that this one day, if God had said to me, you need to gain 185 more pounds, and I had like 200 pounds to lose, I would have said, okay. At that point, I was so willing to do whatever it was going to take to not hate myself and hate everybody around me and be afraid. I was always, always afraid. And today, I can tell you that I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of what you think of me. I'm not afraid of that I might not pass on a great message. I'm not afraid that I'm not going to be that important. I'm not that important. I don't pass on great messages. I pass on the only message that I know, which is that there is recovery for us. We don't have to keep eating or dieting or not eating. There's peace for us. And that one day on my knees, same window, looking out, saying on my knees. And I said, all I wanted was peace. I just wanted peace. And so I put the food down. I called my sponsor and I said to her, every day I called her and said, oh, I ate again yesterday. And this one day I called her and I said, you know what? I didn't eat yesterday. And she said, every day that I called her and I said, I ate again yesterday, I went back out and I ate again. And so here I am today. She would say to me, well, today is a new day. It's its own day. And the day I called her and I said, I didn't eat yesterday. And you know, she said, well, today is a new day. And I thought, yeah, but didn't you hear me? I didn't do that. I didn't go back out. She said, yes, I did hear you. But today is its own day. And so what happened is I began working with diligence. I began working the 12 steps. And I started to, I did my inventory and I shared it with her. And then I went and I made amends. I went back to the town I grew up in and made amends to people who I knew that I owed amends to. Whether they felt I owed an amends or not didn't matter. I wanted to be free. And that's what I came to when I finally on my knees began to surrender more and more and more. And my whole life since then has been a process of surrendering. And I have lost many, many things in the process of, I got sick. I have multiple sclerosis as well. And I have a very progressive MS. And so I can't walk and haven't been able to walk for years. And I have so many things that are wrong with me, going wrong and continue to go wrong. And as I say, I was just in the hospital. Nothing is as I would think I would like it to look. But I know that everything looks exactly the way it's supposed to look, and I can loosen my grip, and I know that there is but one ultimate authority, and that it is safe to trust God. It is safe to surrender and loosen my grip on all the things that I think I need to kind of be in control of, and let go. And let God be God, the director. And let me be the, you know, how it says, we are the agents. What are we doing? We're just following him. That's my sponsor is calling me on my phone. If you hear it ringing, I'm sorry. She called me. We talk regularly. And anyway, which is a good thing. Talk to my sponsor regularly. What a wonderful thing. And I've been set free. And I might be stuck like in a chair. And I can't really shower myself anymore. I can't get myself dressed anymore by myself without assistance. But I'm free. I am free. I am not tied up. I'm not held hostage to myself and my fears and my wants. Everything I want. Is it here with me today now because of God and my relationship with God? And of course, one of my favorite lines in the big book is that deep down, every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. And I think to myself, sometimes people I sponsor, they say, oh, well, I kind of have a hard time with God. And I say, just think of like the universal goodness, or just think of some kind of a, oh, there's something good that's in the universe somewhere, somehow. And that goodness is looking to touch my heart. And my heart is looking to share with your heart, because it is, when I hear people who are like absent or have a really strong program or doing a real, I think to myself, and they're very strong, I think I'm sort of afraid of them. Same thing that I was afraid of people, because I'm nothing like that. I'm not strong. I'm not powerful. I don't have a strong program and a hard, I'm not like that. I can't identify with that. But when you share with me your brokenness, a weakness, some little like wart, a wrinkle, something that's not quite right, I think, yes. Oh, me too, I think. Me too. And I watch in the rooms. Always, it is never to our strength that we, identify with each other. It is always in our brokenness and our weakness. And somebody else is going to put their hand out to me and say, I know that brokenness. I've been broken in that way, in that exact way. This is what it looked like for me, but it's the same brokenness. And I know of a way of where to go and what to do to try to bring myself back into a place of surrender, where there is only really one ultimate authority. I always say it to my husband too. I always say that. There is really but only one ultimate authority. And he always just kind of glances at me like, ah, but it's true. There's really only one. And what's nice about that is that the illness that I have and all of the things that I've done, because I will tell you another really big thing is that, and it's very humbling, but I can't really eat properly anymore with utensils and things. I can't roll up. Well, I can't roll up to the table in my power chair and eat the way I used to eat. I have to use these special utensils because I can't manage a regular utensil anymore. I can't even manage just sometimes when I want to take a drink, I can't even get the water bottle all the way up. What powerlessness? What are we going to do if we are this powerless? And I think we're going to do the same thing that we did when we were that powerless and we were on our knees and asking God for the grace for one day, just one day, and how long I kept coming to the meetings and I kept trying. And I didn't really even know about, I didn't want to give up the food, but I didn't know. And I didn't have anybody teaching me except that there is, turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him. Take your inventory, Bernie. Take your 10th step inventory. Every day, take a 10th step throughout the day. Ask yourself, where am I frightened? And for me, it's so funny, but fear is the thing that pushes everything. I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to act a certain way. I wanted to be loved or treated in a certain way. My fear. What if they don't like me? Or what if they think I'm not really that? What is it? It's that I'm afraid that I'm not going to be good enough, that I'm not going to be enough. And what I've learned in the surrender process is that God, in his infinite love and his wisdom, showers grace upon me. One is not better than another. Not one of us is better than another. Nobody. We are all equally the same, all in the same 24 hours, working towards what would you have me do? And every day I ask myself, especially when I'm thinking like, oh, I'm wondering about things, where is God? If I get nervous or afraid, where is God in this moment, in this picture? And then I think, oh, right, well, he's not. No, he is, but I forgot. Oh. And so we keep coming back and we keep sharing with other people and we let them know in little ways or in big ways that there is recovery for us. And I think, I don't know how much time I've been talking, but I think I've been talking for probably about 15 minutes or so, I think. A 3 minute warning to go. So that's a good thing. So the last thing I'll say is that apart from the God of my understanding, to be separated from God and would be to eat, to just start eating. So with all of this sickness and all of these things, it's a miracle that I don't secretly wish I could eat again. That's just stunning to me. I don't know how God does that, but somehow he does. And here we are. And I'm so incredibly grateful to be with all of you. And thank you for coming out to this 12-step with me.